The story of Bartimaeus closes out the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Now, you probably have not noticed it, but we've read practically this whole chapter over the past several weeks, but not sequentially and with some other stuff interspersed. And also, I think all three of your preaching clergy have taken on a chunk of it. So I will forgive you for not having any sense of this chapter. And I pray you'll forgive me for what I'm about to do, which is to summarize a lot of scripture that we did not actually read today in church. Bear with me, though. Mark 10 opens with the Pharisees, who are trying to catch Jesus up with a question about divorce. He replies with a more harsh saying than contemporary ears want to hear, but another part of his response is when he brings forward that child to embrace him and says, "This is an example to you, both of someone who must be welcomed and as someone who is to be imitated in their welcome of the kingdom of God." Jesus and the disciples leave that scene and continue on their way, which is where Jesus encounters a rich young man who says he wants to do anything to follow Jesus, except what Jesus actually asks him to do, which is, of course, to sell his things and give the money to the poor. When he hears the price of entrance, the young man, we are told, goes away sorrowing, for he had many possessions. He turns his back on all that Jesus asks and offers. Then, while they continue along with Jesus, the disciples get a little passion prediction, a foretelling of Jesus' crucifixion, death, and resurrection. And James and John reply by asking Jesus if they can sit on his left and right hand in glory, correctly discerning, as many have down through the centuries, that the whole good news thing is really just about them. Of course, it's not. And Jesus replies by giving them an earful about how anyone who wishes to become great must become the servant of all. And they continue on to Jericho, which is where we are today with Bartimaeus' cameo. I set all this up for you because Bartimaeus is much more than just some random dude receiving a nice little healing miracle. Mark 10 shows us how a lot of people don't really get Jesus and what he's about. And in fact, it's the people you think were most likely to get him, the learned religious scholars who are so knowledgeable about arcane matters, the wealthy and powerful, so adept at stacking the deck in their own favor. Even the disciples, they end up being the ones who really can't see it at all. Instead, who gets Jesus? Well, in Mark 10, four blind guys, not even one of the chosen 12, just someone on the side of the road. Mark set Bartimaeus up for us as an example of how to approach, interact with, and follow Jesus as one who really sees him. So let's look at Bartimaeus. First, Bartimaeus' approach to Jesus is, well, I'm coming up on my best joke in the sermon, so I'm going to switch to a much more actual looking. All right. So who is it who really gets Jesus? Of course, it's Bartimaeus. And first, Bartimaeus' approach to Jesus is childlike. Those of you who, like me, have tried to talk to another adult during dinner with a small child recently will, of course, instantly recognize Bartimaeus' principal rhetorical device, which is to start yelling, and no matter who tells him that this is not the time, or who sternly orders him to be quiet, is to keep on yelling until someone pays attention to you. I'm being a little facetious, of course, but think of it this way, right? Part of what it means to receive the kingdom of God like a little child is to be unselfconsciously enthusiastic, unafraid to look silly or annoying or even to be demanding. And yes, I'm also in the phase of childhood where kids love stripping off their clothes and just leaving them where they lie. We could not find my son's shoe for an entire day because he kicked it so hard it ended up on a windowsill. But in a deeper sense, Bartimaeus' shucking off of his cloak is really intended to be a direct counterexample to that rich young man. Mark doesn't actually call the young man rich. He says that he has many possessions, which he is unwilling to give up in order to follow Jesus. Yet here is Bartimaeus, a beggar already with so little, with so few possessions, ready to give them up entirely. You have to understand that his cloak was probably one of the only things that he had. It was probably his bed at night. If he was homeless, it was probably the only shelter he had at all. It was the one thing left to him that he might sell if he were really starving. But here, faced with the mere possibility of approaching Jesus, Bartimaeus throws it off immediately, leaves it in his wake as he scampers off. And what does he ask of Jesus when he gets to him? Think about it. Bartimaeus could have asked for really anything. Wealth, power, status, the wisdom of Solomon. Jesus actually says, "What can I do for you?" And he doesn't say, "Smite my enemies" or "make me all powerful." Any of those things would have changed his life and probably allowed him a pretty comfortable existence. But Bartimaeus is in touch with his deepest desire, which is to be healed, to be made whole, to see again, and to see Jesus. I have several sermons in me, and I've preached on this text before even, about how some of us are so unfamiliar with our appetites, so numbed out to what we really want and what we really hunger for, that we sometimes cannot even figure out what to ask God for in prayer. Or we get so close and then shy away. But Bartimaeus, he knows exactly what he wants. Not wealth, power, or glory, not a fancy car or a good meal, but to be healed, to be whole, to see again. And Bartimaeus really sees Jesus. Bartimaeus really gets him. Again, in a way that is far more profound than anyone else in this whole chapter of Mark. And what does he do then with his new sight? Surely you're thinking he goes back to get that cloak, which I've now explained to you is so precious. Maybe he wanders around Jericho, sort of checking out what he's been missing in the past several years. No. In the action-packed way that Mark goes, we are told that Bartimaeus gets up and immediately follows Jesus on the way. It's this kind of relationship with the divine that Jesus allows us to have, one that is simple, direct, and efficacious. Efficacious in that it heals us. It doesn't always take away our physical ailments, but it restores us to wholeness, to that deeper shalom that God wants for all of us. And it is efficacious because it invites us to follow, to shape our lives in response. It is meant to have an effect on us. In Jesus, God is accessible, but of course not tame or safe or inoffensive. God remains as wild and as powerful as we read about in Job. This is the end of Mark 10, but Mark 11 starts immediately after. And it starts with Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, with Palm Sunday, the events of Holy Week. All that wild and untamed and so true story of God's deep love for us, overcoming death. It's this relationship that God has with us in Jesus, and it's this relationship that we baptize Allison into today. Though, like Bartimaeus, she really doesn't get the fullness of it all yet, and really none of us do. But all of us could stand to learn something. Not from the learned scribes, or from the select few, or from the rich and powerful, but from those who have given up what little they have, from those who have followed Jesus along the way, because they really see him, and they really get him. That's why in a few minutes we will renew our baptismal vows alongside of Allison, as our way of calling after Jesus, of asking God to let us see him more clearly, of pledging our lives in faith, word, and deed to follow Jesus along the way. Amen.